We're back with you on the Leader. Dieter Kurtenbach hanging out until 10 p.m. Call this little show KMBR tonight. You're listening to KMBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader in a Cumulus Media station. Now that that's out of the way, let's bring in the great Jake Hutchinson of KMBR.com. Talk some 49ers and some NFL. Jake Hutchinson, baby, how you doing?
I'm great. Another glorious week here in the Bay Area. And, yeah, sitting outside.
We got it good here in the Bay, that's for sure. Especially, you know, we see all these wildfires and stuff that are affecting the East Coast, and we know plenty about that. But it just makes you appreciative when we have the good weather, like we got it right now. That's 68 to 72, depending on where you're at in the Bay. What is it down there in the South Bay Peninsula right now? What would you say the mercury's tipping at?
Probably a good 63. Just you know, it's tough when you got to put the sweatshirt on and the wind picks up to, you know, like 12 miles an hour. That's always rough.
Well, that's perfect fire weather. That's what I'm talking about. You got to get yourself get that sweatshirt all smoky for the next morning. Okay, let's talk Niners. You've been down in Santa Clara taking in both OTAs and minicamp. It's very important that they're called something different. What the hell is the difference between OTA and minicamp? Minicamp. Minicamp just sounds like you shouldn't show up for it, but I guess more people show up for minicamps than OTAs.
To me, the only thing about minicamp that's distinct is that it reminds me of when Madden was a playable game. And one of the best parts of Madden was when you literally do the minicamps, and you'd have, like, one of the best ones was you'd have, you know, like Sean Alexander, and you'd have one blocker, and then you have to, like, run 30 yards and get through, like, two or three guys. Yep. That was, like, the elite Madden minicamp days, the heyday of Madden. As far as the distinction between OTAs and minicamp, I could not tell you. The whole springtime football thing kind of tends to rub me the wrong way. I know we have to do it. I know they have you know, they've got to practice, and it's productive, and get everybody in the building and install some stuff. But the coverage and stuff is always funny to me. There's always questions that are asked that are only asked because, you know, I guess we have to ask questions, you know, where people are like, so did you, oh, you're in good shape. That's great. You worked out. Okay. Oh, what did you, oh, you went fishing. Okay. That's cool. All right. Talk to you in a few months.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of that going on. But it is good to see, you know, all the new guys, you know, sort of get their feet under them and kind of see how everybody works together. So there's definitely some value to it, but it is innately a little silly.
Jake Hutchinson, respected member of the media out here, advocating for OTAs and minicamp to be done behind closed doors entirely. Just don't even invite us. We don't want to know. You guys got to practice. That's fine. Do it in a clandestine fashion. Did we learn anything, or did anything strike you from whatever the hell these practices have been?
So I'd say two things. One, Deebo Samuel just absolutely tearing himself a new one. That was interesting. Just
he went hard on Deebo.
Yeah, you just asked, like, so what did you make of last year? And he's like, awful. And we were like, what? He's like, no, awful. It couldn't have been worse. Every aspect, awful. And we're like, all right, do you want to, you know, expand on that? And he was basically like, yeah, I was out of shape. I was sluggish. My tape was terrible. What else do you want me to say? I will never do it again. So that was pretty substantial. He said he and Shanahan broke down tape together. And it was sort of a, you know, it's something that started from college where, you know, he came in and the edict was basically, hey, like, make sure this guy, you're keeping tabs on him over the offseason. Because if he's out of shape, that's the only thing that'll affect his play. If he's in shape, he's going to be a dominant player. And coming into 2021, he was in the best shape of his entire career and he was dominant. But because of the, you know, the offseason stuff and the contracts, he got out of shape, and, you know, I didn't think his season was terrible, but he clearly wasn't the same. You know, I wouldn't have categorized it as harshly as he did. I also think the 49ers added McCaffrey, and Ayuk was better. You know, I think there were some things that took away from him, but, yeah, wasn't anywhere near the offensive player of the year season he had the one prior. And then as for the other thing, it was Jake Moody. He had one day where it was kind of sketchy, and he hit a line drive that was ugly and missed one field goal. And then I think it was Tuesday, he hit every single thing he hit, and he hit a 63-yarder that looked like it could have been good from 70.
Yep.
And just as somebody who, you know, every single game we watched the 49ers play in every practice, like Robbie Gould had a 53-yard range, not an inch longer. It was 53. And I know, I think he hit one 54-yarder in the playoffs, and that was his long for the last, yeah, like 6 or 7 years. But his range was exactly 53 yards. Moody, when he kicks a 53-yarder, it's going 65 every single time. And granted, this is under pretty perfect conditions. But that kid has a leg. And the way he talks, he was on our air this morning. He sounds pretty mature. He told a funny story about, like, he basically saw Matt Prater and Calvin Johnson, Megatron, at, like, a pizza place. And he ran him down and just ignored Megatron completely. And then he was like, he was talking to Matt Prater so much that Calvin Johnson was like, "Hey, I'm Calvin. Like, I'm here too." So that cracked me up. So yeah, I'm excited to see that kid kick. If you're into special teams, if you're a freak like me, it's gonna be fun.
I just found the outcry of taking the kid who was unquestionably the best kicker in the class. And you and I had discussions. We both, it's almost like an inside joke. Like, we both enjoy talking about kickers. Because, I mean, at a certain point, we have to acknowledge they're the highest scoring players on the team. And the whole point is to make points. And so I understand that it's not like the Sharks losing Eric Carlson or the Warriors losing Steph Curry. But losing the guy who scored the most points for you every single year he was here, which means every single year that Kyle Shanahan's been here, is kind of a big deal. And that is, of course, Robbie Gould. It was also kind of a big deal that Robbie Gould, while I think he did expand his range as it went on, like, you needed to get to the 35-yard line for Robbie Gould to be good as gold and kick field goals. And the concept of a Jake Moody, who can knock in field goals from 63 with ease, and by the way, appears to have the accuracy and reliability of a Robbie Gould on top of that, the possibilities for what that could do for Kyle's offense are tantalizing to me. But also, like, that is something that's worth a third-round pick in the modern NFL. I know.
No question about
it. If someone offered you a first-round pick for Justin Tucker today, wouldn't you trade that first-round pick?
I mean, depends if it's top 10, but I mean, if it's a late first-rounder, no question I would.
The Niners gave up 3 for Trey Lance. Now, obviously, we have some hindsight involved, but they said, we don't need a first-round pick for the next 3 years because we like the third-best quarterback in this draft. Like, Justin Tucker, the greatest kicker of all time, if someone's offering, you know, give us pick number 31 for Justin Tucker, I slam the accept button on that trade. But maybe I'm just a sicko like you.
Well, it's also like, what's funny is me saying, like, I'd have to consider it. It's like the 49ers, yeah, they spent 3 first-round draft picks on Trey Lance, and, you know, it's pretty much been a total whiff so far. But they still made it to the NFC Championship. So, like, did it really matter? You know, like, at a certain point, you know, first-round picks are kind of overvalued. So, why not? And also the other thing about Moody, and it might change with the rules that, you know, they're trying to figure out the whole bizarre touchback thing where if a guy fair catches it, it just comes out to the 25. It might not matter as much. But he can boot the ball into the end zone if you need a touchback, and the Niners were terrible at that because Mitch Wishnowsky cannot kick off, apparently, and Robbie Gould had to take over for him the last couple of years and was not great at it. They were, I think, bottom 5 in touchback percentage. So,
yeah,
that's also not the sexiest topic, but it matters. And we all remember the, you know, the Richard Hightower, you know, nightmares. Oof. And if that takes a little stress off special teams where, you know, Kyle Shanahan has a lot of things he worries about and probably likes to worry about more than he should. Special teams is one he just really, really never wants to think about. And if Moody can be anywhere as reliable as he was in college with the leg that he's got, that is absolutely worth a third-round pick. And the fact that people were so upset about it didn't really make sense to me. I think that's where you have to draft him. Clear best kicker in the draft. You need a kicker. They didn't want to bring back Gold at that price point. Save right. you $5 million a year for the next 4 years. If he's good, it's worth it.
I mean, let's extrapolate the thing that I've been thinking in the back of my head now for a while. Like, what would it mean for Kyle's offense if anything within opponent's territory is now scoreable range? Because Kyle plays for field goals more than perhaps any coach.
Oh my God, the end of a half. Oh my, oh, he would.
The concept of scoring a touchdown.
If, the mouth.
Yeah, it's three or nothing for Kyle Shanahan. The concept of six or seven, absurd to Mr. Kyle Shanahan at the end of a half. Like, this is a dude who runs a lot of third down draws to set up field goals. If you have a kicker with some serious range, might he go deep into the bag on third down? I mean, maybe this is just wishful thinking, but I'd like to think it would affect his play calling and maybe allow him to be a bit more aggressive, and that's really fun to me, in concept at least.
No, I had the same galaxy brain thought. You know, it's something where, listen, I think Kyle at his core is not conservative, but what happens is he has so much scar tissue for moments, largely with Jimmy Garoppolo, of stuff just going awry because, you know, like somebody had a holding penalty and something didn't work out, or Jimmy threw an interception, and he just gets so wound up and so such whiplash from those little moments that he becomes conservative with some of his decisions. And he's also not as consistent as everyone wants to make him out to be. I do think, theoretically, hopefully, ideally, you know, if he has a kicker who can, you know, score one from 60, then maybe on those third downs, he says, you know, we're actually going to go for it. We're going to be hyper-aggressive because we're already in field goal range. Let's actually push the needle, push the envelope, and see if we can score a touchdown here at the end of the half. And if not, whatever, Moody's going to knock one home from, you know, another area code. That, I think, is the ideal scenario here. You know, it probably manifests a little differently where he doesn't fully trust Moody misses one kick, you know, and then he doesn't trust him from any distance ever.
This kid shouldn't miss. If he goes perfect his entire career, Kyle will love him.
Right. Kyle's neurotic, and, you know, that's part of what makes him a great head coach and part of what sort of limits him from maybe taking another step as a head coach sometimes. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, and I think in an ideal scenario, once he gets comfortable with the rookie kicker, sees him hit something in a big moment. Kyle always, I feel like, when he sees somebody do something in a moment that is consequential, I feel like that's something that buys him trust. And I think once that happens, I think he might get a little more comfortable.
I mean, nobody loves field goals at the end of a half or after like a opponent's territory hold. Like, if you have a penalty inside of the opponent's 50, like, field goal coming up. Like, any chance. Kyle saw the stat where it's like the amount of touchdowns you score on a drive where you have a holding penalty is like 13% because, I don't know, the Washington Commanders exist and, like, bad football teams are out there all the time. And Kyle's like, well, I guess we could never possibly score, so why even bother? Let's only kick field goals from here on out. And maybe that changes. Maybe it doesn't. We're going to find out, but I like the fact that it's not the same paradigm going into this season. And maybe we end up missing Robbie Gould around these parts on a professional level. But I just,
I think
mixing it up here is a good idea. And by the way, when you're mixing it up, you're doing it with a bona fide stud from college. I mean, I haven't heard a foul word about this kid yet. And this was a pretty good kicker class with some of the dudes who were undrafted being pretty good. And this kid was above and beyond on the rest of them. You mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo, Jake. I got to ask you, what did you make of the fact that the Raiders basically just said, we can cut you at any time now because he had secret foot surgery? I mean, what a ridiculous hot mess. Now I think everyone's kind of understanding the Niners' predicament here over the last 2 years, right?
I think it's beautiful, honestly. It's a masterclass in just Garoppolovian just contract wizardry, and it's like, if I'm him, do you even play another snap? Like, I mean, he's made plenty of money. Like, if I was him, I would just call the Raiders bluff and then, you know, get into some fun, you know, off-season lawyer stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Just, you know, maybe just
go full Kevin
Na. On the sidelines.
Just say I'm not playing again until my insurance policy stops paying out. Right. Something like that.
Here's the thing. Like, if you're the Raiders, this is it's kind of fitting, right? They invite disaster in sort of beautiful, innovative ways, and you know, to just handle everything that they always do. Where you know they're going from Derek Carr, who he's not the answer, but neither is Jimmy, and right. They're not really saving much money. It's just I don't have like a take or anything poetic to say, but it's just so beautifully entertaining to see such a disaster in a place that seems to only invite disaster. And I think that's fitting of their organization. I think it's fitting of Jimmy and the one awkward sort of video they put out of him where he walks into the Raiders stadium and the guy's like, Jimmy, I love you. You're so handsome. He's like, I don't know what to say to that. And I just can't foresee them really. And I feel bad for the actual diehard Raider fans because those are some spectacular, unique people that deserve.
Yeah, they deserve better than this.
That's not completely falling apart at the seams in innovative ways every second of the day. Yeah. But at the same time, it's entertaining, and I can't deny that.
Okay, so let me quickly say, if Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't play this year, and by the way, Josh McDaniels coming out and saying that he has no anxiety about the quarterback situation, which means that he is riddled with anxiety about the quarterback. Don't put in the newspaper that I'm upset about my quarterback situation. might be a bit of a tell there. Jimmy Garoppolo's backup, Brian Hoyer, who I was unaware is still of playing age. And then here are the two backups for Brian Hoyer, who, if he does have to play, will be almost immediately put into an ambulance. Aiden O'Connell, who is somebody? Who the hell's Aiden O'Connell? And former Cal standout Chase Garbers. My goodness.
Oh my God. I'll be honest. I knew of Aiden O'Connell, but the photos I'm looking up. Poof! It looks he's got the most sixth year senior vibes I have ever seen in my life. Just like a mustache that's holding on. I'm not trying to be mean, but I have to be, because
I'm
telling you what
it.
I see. And it's a mustache that's holding on for dear life. He kind of looks like a grad student who's an assistant coach. And he might start for the Raiders next year.
He looks like a younger version of Farfa from Super Troopers.
Right. Hey, that's
not a win.
That's not bad. It's not looking good, man. It's not looking good.
This guy looks like he's about to be a cop. Let me just throw it.
That's the thing. If you're the Raiders, it's like you actually don't have – any other options? So you bet on Jimmy Garoppolo.
What about your soon-to-be new owner, Tom Brady?
See, that's the thing that I think everybody wants to see is Tom come out and he, you know, you see him in the booth. There's like close zoom-ins on him, and then it's let's say it's week 14. The Raiders are somehow not out of it. You know, they're like say they're 4-7 or something, and Brady he walks down from the booth. Throws a headset down. He's not even in a jersey. He just throws a helmet on and he gets out there. It's terrible. And he has a meltdown and you just see him screaming at every single person on the field. But I think that's what we all want and what the fans deserve more than anything.
I mean, he could fire Jimmy Garoppolo and then go in and replace him, which I'm sure, given how it went down in San Francisco after the 2019 season, he might feel the need to do if he does indeed get that power. Though I think the owners have to vote on if he's allowed to play and all that stuff, and that's a big hot mess. Let's swing it back to the Niners as we talk to the great Jake Hutchinson, KMBR.com. Brandon Ayuk is getting rave reviews. I will like to note that Brandon Ayuk gets rave reviews every offseason, every training camp. Like, he is a very impressive player to watch practice. So take that for what it's worth. This past year, it was worth a lot. He was really good this past year. And I do think that the paradigm, not to overuse that word, but like the situation with the quarterback has changed. That's unquestioned. Whether it was Trey Lance at the start of last year or certainly at the end of the year with Brock Purdy as the quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo and Deebo Samuel had a coexistence. There was a dependency for each. I think it went both ways with them. Jimmy didn't throw it out outside the numbers. He didn't throw it deep. Deebo needs to live in the middle of the field. And credit to Jimmy Garoppolo, he produced some fairly accurate like lead-in passes over the middle. He could turn those little seven-yard dig routes into the run game, essentially. And that's what Deebo needs to feast on and get the ball in the backfield a lot, which is something Jimmy was more than happy to do. With Purdy, with Lance, that's not something that they're – I mean, they can do it, but that's not their game. Certainly they have more to offer than Jimmy did in that regard. We see it with both of those guys in the scramble drill. We see it with Lance's ability to push the ball deep. I think Purdy did a really nice job pushing it outside the numbers. Is there a chance that Deebo Samuel's 2023 season is his last in San Francisco?
It's something that it's not out of the question, right? I don't know if it's likely, here's the thing. He's such a dominant player when he's healthy and when he's right. And Kyle has such a close relationship with him that I really don't think you can overlook. Like, Kyle loves Deebo Samuel more than any player on the 49ers.
What's not to love? I mean, to be fair, his 2021 season is as good of a season as I've seen anyone have with my own two eyes over the course of a campaign. I've covered the NFL for a long time. Like, he deserved more MVP consideration, or at least Offensive Player of the Year consideration, for his 2021 season. For everything we said about Christian McCaffrey at the end of last season, that was Deebo Samuel times two in 2021, because there was no alternative but Deebo do the thing, and he deserved better than the fate that they ended up having. I can see why Kyle loves him. At the same time, Kyle loved Robbie Gould too, and here we are.
Right. I mean, that's fair. I think the thing with Deebo, first of all, his contract, like, unless you trade him after June 1st next year, you're eating $22 million. Okay. That I don't think is a super palatable number. And I think it's something where what makes the 49ers so outrageous last year, even with Deebo not playing that well, is they have an outrageous number of weapons that, like, if you lose one of them, you still have Ayuk and Kittle and McCaffrey. But if you have Deebo too, then it's just something where, again, like, Purdy takes time to get back to what he was, or, he can't channel, the peak of last season. You can kind of put any quarterback back there and just have the greatest offensive weaponry in the NFL for at least two more years. Mm-hmm. And Shanahan, like, if you're him, why would you give that up, right? Unless Deebo just looks out of shape and he's injured and, Ayuk is demanding money where you have to get rid of one of them. I think it's something where, they're going to try and keep that around as long as they possibly can. I would think almost like Kittle would be more likely to get rid of. If he got rid of somebody, but I still don't think that's likely either. I think it's something where they hold on to these guys as long as they possibly can, and obviously financial decisions get weird, but at a certain point, just you have so many weapons, just do what the Saints do if you're in the NFC Championship, right? Just keep kicking the can down the road as far as you can, because the wheels will fall off at some point. I don't know if you want to remove the wheels yourself.
Brandon Ayuk set to make about $4 million against the cap this year because he's still on his rookie deal. Over the cap says he's worth about $17 million. He'll make a 14.1 on his fifth-year option next season. So, listen, this cap's going to keep expanding. The Niners have ways of working around it. None of this is dire by any stretch of the imagination, but something to keep an eye on here, especially if Brandon Ayuk takes his game to the next level, as of course he says he wants to. Jake, one last question before we let you out, and really appreciate the time and the insight as always. I look at the NFC West, and for so many years we've said this is the best division in football. It's an absolute slaughterhouse, and if you come out of the NFC West, you are battle tested. And I do not feel that way anymore. Seattle's fine. Like, Seattle is like they're a fine team. That's as nice a compliment as I'm going to give, because they're strangely built. I don't think Geno Smith is going to have a very big year, given the fact that he really faded at the end of last year. And then I look at the Rams. Oh, boy. The Rams just feel like they're a band that needed to break up a couple of years or, you know, earlier. When it all goes to hell, it's going to be exceptionally ugly, and it's pretty ugly right here and now. And then the Arizona Cardinals, I'm not even sure they're aware that they need to field a team for next year. Like, it feels as if they just sort of forgot, because
they are gonna try hard to not try hard.
I mean, Caleb Williams might as well start buying real estate with that NIL money in Arizona, because there's just no chance that he doesn't end up there. They're gonna start. It's like their wide receiver core is Hollywood Brown, Greg Dortch, and some other. Like, they have their starting wide receivers are all like
trash talk, my boy Greg Dortch.
All their starting wide, their starting three wide receivers are all 5'8".
Are you insinuating that's not ideal?
I mean, not when Colt McCoy is your quarterback, who, by the way, is not even 6 foot himself, I don't think. I mean, are they trying? Did they take low man wins to a whole new level by just creating a team full of small boys? Like, this is the JV high school basketball team, man.
They're going to be very, 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 very bad. And long term, that's great for them. That when they, you know, they probably fire Gannon in 2 years.
Yeah.
Because I just have zero, 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 zero faith in that guy. He had his interaction when he got hired with some of the players was like AI manifested in a human form. And it was hard to watch. And that said, I think they are really built up for success in 3 years' time. You know, they have a ton of assets. Yeah. But in for the next 2 years, they're going to suck. They're going to be really, really bad unless they get Caleb Williams, who is unreal, and then they can put some stuff around him where they get a little frisky for that first year. I think they're going to be horrific for the next two. I don't know what the Rams are. I don't know why Sean McVay is still coaching. He could make so much money not coaching, or just take a break and then come back and get hired whenever he wants. Not enough people do what Kingsbury did, which does anyone know if he's still in Thailand? The story was that he bought a one-way ticket. Apparently, you're not actually allowed to buy a one-way ticket to Thailand.
Yeah, I think he outlasted his visa and is on the lam.
I would assume he's somewhere on a beach. Is he alive? Who's to say? He seems like he's probably having the time of his life.
He's the OC he's the quarterback's coach for the USC Trojans, Caleb Williams.
Well, if I was him, I would stay in Thailand, and I would never go back to coaching. I'd become a very handsome analyst who gets paid about a ridiculous amount. He'd probably get paid $10 million a year just because he's got a strong jawline.
He's so boring, man. Yeah, but, I watch that All or Nothing because I don't respect myself, and I don't know, it was Hard Knocks, something like that, one of those docuseries, and it was awful, and Cliff Kingsbury might have been the worst part of it all. I just find it hilarious that the dude who got fired as the head coach of Texas Tech after having Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback because he couldn't win with Patrick Mahomes, he gets fired. He accepts a job to be the offensive coordinator at USC, and then the Arizona Cardinals hire him from that job, which he had not even started yet, to be their head coach, and now he's back at USC as not even the OC. He's a quarterback's coach. Like, that's an all-time.
No one has failed more successfully than he has.
So much money. So much money. Though I actually don't know how much money, because Michael Bidwell, the owner of the Cardinals, might have been paying, like, hourly rates for his dudes. I mean, that's got to be the worst-run franchise in football now that Washington is changing ownership. I mean, they could have sold Washington to a bunch of randos on the street, and they would have been better owners than Dan Snyder. But my goodness, the juggernaut that was the NFC West, no more, my friend. And maybe that changes the way the 49ers go about their business. Maybe they won't be as serious in the regular season because they know if we beat Seattle twice, we're probably pretty good. But
are you insinuating they're serious in the regular season? I mean, well, I guess the first half of the regular season. I suspect they'll be 500 for the first eight games, and then win.
I mean, as is tradition, Kyle Shanahan will never take September football serious. Until the San Francisco 49ers have to play in 40-degree weather, it's not actually football season, according to Kyle Shanahan. After that, it's on, and it's really on. But
that's fair.
Yeah, it's worked out so far, I guess, to whatever notion. Maybe just run up the score on your division and then go into the playoffs with the one seed and the bye. And, you know, the only thing the Niners haven't won is the damn Super Bowl. Whatever you can do to set yourself up to do that, try to do that. And I don't think taking her easy is the way to do it. But we got a lot of time to think about it and talk about it and find out. Jake, thanks for the time, my man. If I don't talk to you before the end of tomorrow, enjoy your weekend, and we'll catch up real soon.
Great talking to you, as always. Appreciate it.
The great Jake Hutchinson, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, no, Arizona Cardinals, absolute tire fire. L.A. Rams, completely adrift, no direction whatsoever. And then Seattle, I guess Seattle's getting better, but they feel like they've gone from low end of mediocre to high end of mediocre. I know they were a playoff team last year, but we saw what happened in the playoffs. Like, they went from a C- to a C+. They still got Geno Smith as their quarterback. Like, I'm just not buying Seattle as some serious NFC threat. And oh, by the way, the NFC sucks. It's the Eagles, the Niners, and that's about it, ladies and gentlemen.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.